Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Is there a pathway for expansion of ethanol markets, or are fuel economy regulations in the way? Are those regulations effective for other reasons? To help us understand current EPA rules and to discuss the Renewable Enhancement and Growth Support Rule, we're joined by Doug Somke. He's president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. Doug, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
All right, we're going to have to get a little basic here because this is sort of complicated stuff. You've been part of a campaign to look at rolling back some regulations that you think would help advance the ethanol industry. Give us an overview of, we'll talk about your actions in a few minutes, but give us an overview of what we're talking about. What are these regulations?
Sure. Yeah, the regulations that EPA is looking at imposing are called the REGS rule. It stands for Renewable Enhancement and Growth Support Rule. What those rules would do if they're implemented would limit the expansion of ethanol blends fuel from anything over E15. E15 would be allowed, but anything over that would not be allowed, especially in non-flex fuel vehicles. So that's limiting the ability to move forward to expand our ethanol industry. That's important because back in 2011, the market was utilized that ethanol was a utilization fuel. It was an additive. They proved that it was an additive. And that changed back in 2017 then when the EPA said that you could certify the fuel with E10. So in other words, it took the language that they're trying to implement away, saying that you can't have anything that's going to be harmful added to the fuel that would be make the implement or of the Clean Air Act and or the devices that implement the Clean Air Act not work. And this is just the opposite. As ethanol is added to the fuel, the higher blends, the more it helps clean the air. So it really makes it better, not worse. So what we're trying to say is if they implement these REG rules, which we made comments back in February 2017, not many other ag groups that I know of made the same argument that we needed to make with this REG rule. And so that's why we're standing up today saying that if they do implement this as they put on the agenda that they will, sometime here in 2018, this will greatly affect the availability and usage of our ethanol product. And, you know, over the last 10 years in South Dakota especially, we've really created a new income level for family farmers and ranchers because of the ethanol business that we developed in our state. It's really helped our rural communities. It's added over 5,000 new jobs. And without those ethanol plants in those communities, we will suffer hugely. I mean, this is a $1.5 billion shot to our economy. And that's why we stand so strongly on this ruling, and we will continue to stand strongly on it.
When did the regulations start? How long has the conversation been going? Is this a Trump administration regulation, an Obama-era regulation? How far back does the conversation go?
That's a good question. No, it goes back into the Obama administration. This rule was set up by the Obama administration, and now this administration looks to move it forward. And I think what that really implies here is it's not really so much what the administration is doing as much as it is those employees in those agencies that instruct the secretary on their view or their positions. You've got to realize that all of our agencies, USDA included, but EPA especially, is heavily influenced by outside interests like the oil companies. Oil companies have paid for these studies that have gotten them to this point, and we have evidence that shows that they have misused and misguided these studies to come out in favor of the oil industry and not for ethanol. And, you know, given the right situations, we will and shall expose what has happened here. You know, we're going to continue to move forward in this. We're going to keep pressure on EPA on this. And it just so happens that, you know, our EPA Secretary Pruitt is in the state just this week. He'll be here tomorrow. in Reliance, South Dakota, speaking to the sorghum industry. And I know that other organizations like Corn Growers have come out strongly against him appearing here, especially since he doesn't give us the E15 ruling. But to be quite honest with you, I don't know what good E15 would do with it for us if we have this rakes rule in place, because it will limit us at E15 period and in only flex fuel vehicles, which the auto industry has indicated they're no longer going to make.
All right, so take me to the gas pump. Right now, what can I get? Is it 15 or what's available?
Well, that's a good question. All depends upon what part of the state you're in. We're getting more and more ethanol blended blender fuel pumps available across the state. One of the latest ones I know is down at Tabor, and that co-op has decided to put in a pump that will blend. You can put in straight E85 if you like, or you can blend it at E10, E15, or E30. And we like supporting E30 because our studies have shown, working with ethanol companies like Glacial Lakes ethanol plant in Watertown with their E30 challenge, that E30 is the best blend for all vehicles, especially non-flex fuel vehicles. It gives you more power, gives you more value for your dollar, and you may increase your mileage. You definitely will not decrease your mileage. And this doesn't have no effect to any vehicles. They've been running this test in Watertown now for going on 3 years, and they increased their fuel consumption of just E30 now to 1.5 million gallons more than they did prior to the study. So that's huge. And that's what we're trying to get more and more people to look at and to support their local farmer and their local community and help their the local air quality by using more ethanol, higher blend fuel.
Okay, so right now I can make choices at the pump if I'm a consumer. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay.
Of course,
you know, then,
different pumps.
Right, but yeah, depending on what I can find. But then my question is, if the regs rules go forward, do my choices as a consumer change?
They will, yeah. You will be committing a breaking the law if you are putting anything over E15 in your non-flex fuel vehicle, according to these reg rules, and that's what's wrong. And like I said, they've already proven that that this is an additive that's fine. It doesn't harm the vehicle or the air that you breathe from the exhaust of that vehicle. So, you know, it's really on the EPA that you're kind of stepping on their own toes here, and that's something that we're really trying to point out. Is they're saying that it was okay, but now they're going to try to implement a rule that says it's not.
All right. So we mentioned you mentioned sort of the oil industry's impact and lobbying on this. So we're not talking about, in your opinion, just conflicting science or conflicting research. You're asserting that they're actually sort of misrepresenting the science. Is that and you said you have evidence for that? Is that something that you're available to us somewhere to sort of access and look through?
Yeah, there's actual studies done by the Oak Ridge Lab, which is a national lab, and then there's also studies done by the air quality team up in Ann Arbor, Michigan for EPA, and those are studies that have been manipulated and definitely not splash blended like we do. They put the fuel in a test tube and specifically measure it directly. Well, that's not the way we do things naturally, right? I mean, we don't just pull up to the pump and then, you know, specifically put in just this amount or this type. And that's where they misconstrued the evidence and misused the testimony.
I see. All right. So you have signed on to a letter to Scott Pruitt, the EPA administrator, along with some national organizations, calling on him to rethink the EPA's position. You said he's going to be in South Dakota tomorrow. What sort of response or feedback are you expecting or hoping? Do you think that you will be heard?
Well, that's interesting you would ask that, because I've had correspondence with their one of the undersecretaries, Grundler, and he has written me back on these particular issues, and he actually has admitted that what we are proposing is correct, but at the same time, he's not willing to say that it's okay to do that. So, the response that I'm hoping for is probably not the one we're going to get. Simply because it sure looks like, you know, this secretary and this undersecretary have definitely abused and misused their power. And I guess I'm not the first one to point this out, I guess I don't expect to see anything other than us having to take them to court to prove that we are correct.
Certainly, Scott Pruitt has been under fire from a number of different areas for ethical violations and such. I'm wondering about what farmers, what South Dakotans, what scientists, like how do other people sort of chime in on this conversation? Who would you recommend they contact and talk to? And what would some of those talking points be?
That's a good point. Definitely you need to call our senators, Senator Thune and Senator Rounds. We've had conversations with both of them on this topic, especially Senator Rounds. Senator Rounds gets what we're talking about, and he has been helpful in working in his committees to point our facts out. But I can also tell you that the oil industry and the powers that be strongly are opposing to what we're saying. And that is going to be the challenge, is how do we move forward here? How do we get more and more people to contact others, what needs to be said? That information you can get, we have it on our website. We can get it from National Farmers Union as well. But we're the ones leading the charge in this. We are building a coalition. We've got several ethanol plants and other groups that are Urban Air Initiative is another group that's working with us moving this forward, and we're positive that we're going to definitely prove our case for the American people, especially for the American farmer, because this industry we cannot lose. We cannot let it be taken over by big oil.
If you're just tuning in, my guest on In the Moment here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting is Doug Somke. He's the South Dakota Farmers Union president, and we're talking about these REGS rules, and REGS stands for Renewable Enhancement and Growth Support, and it has an impact on the ethanol industry in the state. Doug says it's a $1.5 billion impact, or it's a $1.5 billion industry. Where does that help me clarify that number, Doug?
Yeah, it's a... to our economy is what that amounts to, $1.5 billion to our economy.
And the website to find out more information, go ahead and give us that. Where would folks go?
Yeah, you can go to sdfu.org or nfu.org. And then we also have a partnership with Urban Air Initiative as well.
What else is the Farmers Union working on right now? This is obviously taking up a lot of bandwidth, but in the last maybe 2 minutes that we have, are there other areas of focus that are really important to farmers right now?
Yeah, right now the Farm Bill. The Senate Farm Bill is coming up. Tomorrow is a big day. I just visited with Senator Thune's office yesterday on that. I think we've got a lot better opportunity in a Farm Bill with what the Senate is presenting than what we had from the House side. Now, that being said, they're a long ways apart, right? So we got a long ways to go between the two. I know Senator Thune emphasized that he thinks we'll get there by October. I don't know. He's got a lot more faith in what they're going to do than I do. But I guess the least I would say that it's going to be an extension.
Right. Are farmers across the state kind of holding their breath about trade conversations and the G7 meeting as we sort of watch things roll out, or is it business as usual in the state?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. You know, I think more and more people are just more concentrated on what's happening to them today. I mean, the trade things are what they are. They're hard to deal with. They're hard to understand because they're constantly changing. It's just if you tried to stay up to it every day, you just would never know what's going to happen. Right now, I think more people are more worried about, am I too wet? Am I too dry? Do my cattle have enough grass? That kind of thing. So they're concentrating more on the today stuff than they are going to necessarily happen in trade.
Right. Doug Somke, president of South Dakota Farmers Union, thank you so much for being a guest. It's always a pleasure. Come back soon. We'll talk Farm Bill.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.